right. Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank God for being the same for us all our days. And also I want to thank Bob and Jeannie for their leadership and the opportunity to teach tonight. If I were to title this, it would be To Stand Still, Look and Listen. And Bob asked me to share on what God does for us through a relationship with believers. On Sunday, I've been listening to Facebook Live. I love being online and chatting in the chat. You've probably seen the chat. It's a great way to interact with believers online, so I encourage anyone who does that to utilize the chat function. Daniel taught so well on what we do for one another. He shared about the one another's, so I'm not going to do that tonight. But there's no better example of a relationship with believers than the Lord Jesus Christ, our big brother. So we're going to take a look at Philippians, if you'll turn there, if you are looking in your Bibles tonight. And if I don't share a version, it's because we're using King James. Philippians chapter 2, and if you'll look at verse 4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And that is really to not merely look out for our own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5 says, "To let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." His mindset was not on his own interests first, but on the things of others. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 10, we'll see another admonition to do this. So we are so busy with our own interests in life, with our work, with our families, with school, education, daily living activities, that we just have to slow down and really to stand still and listen to be able to look out and seek the good of another person. In 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 24 and then New International Version, it says, "No one should seek their own good, but the good of others." And we, you know, we do have to take care of ourselves, but I think, you know, the busyness of life, that's where, you know, we can be distracted with all the things that we feel like we have to do. And it really does take that just stopping to look out for one another. In Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn there, we're going to look at a Greek word tonight in Galatians 5. And in verse 13, in the Amplified, it says, "Through love, serve and seek the best for one another." And that "seek" is the Greek word anazeteo, which is to make a diligent search. So it really takes that effort on our parts to be able to serve and to seek the best for one another. So what does that mean? To serve through love and seek the best for one another. Turn to John, please, and we'll look at the greatest example. In John 13, and in verse 12, it says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He said, 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them." He was washing the disciples' feet. In verse 13, it says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So that really met a true need at the time, because they did that at the door of a home when they entered after walking a long way on a dirt road. He could have washed his own feet first and walked right into the house, because he is teacher and Lord. He stood still at the door at their point of need to take care of them. He stopped and he sought the good of others. So that's just amazing. And Mark 10, we're going to look at that, talk further about what he did and what he came for. Mark 10 and verse 45, I'm looking at the NASB version, New American Standard Bible, says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So we do this for one another. To have the mind of Christ, we have the mindset to minister, to serve, and to give, to seek good for another person. Matthew 20, this kind of stopped me in my tracks when I read this, in Matthew 20, and in verse 32, it says, "And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you?" He actually stopped in his tracks. He stood still and called out. And we all at times have had the need for someone to stand still and call to us and say, what can I do for you? As believers, we can stand still in the busyness of our lives and call to someone and listen to them on how to serve and seek the best for them. God blesses us not only with a relationship with Him and our brother, Jesus Christ, but He puts us in a special relationship with one another as believers. And if you'll turn to Psalm 3, I want to share a personal story with you about a special relationship that I was put into. And Bob was talking earlier about his early 20s and some of the things he did. I was in a Christian leadership program in my early 20s, and I was blessed to be put into a special relationship with the founder of that ministry, his wife, Mrs. Werwell. She called me her friend, and she loved me as I did her. And one day I was working in her home, and she was sitting at her table, letter writing or doing, you know, that she normally did. And she stopped what she was doing, and she looked at me, and she asked what was wrong. And I hadn't told her anything. So when I did tell her and said I felt bad, her immediate reply was, "Not for a minute. Put your head up and your shoulders back." And so I was all of 22 years old. I went back to my dorm room, and I found this verse in Psalm 3:3. New American Standard says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." And I went straight to that verse, after I met with her, because I still went back thinking, how am I going to lift up my head? I know she told me to do it, but how am I going to do it? And so I read that verse and realized that God was our strength in times of trouble and that He would be the one to lift my head. So I went back and I shared that verse with her, how I had found that the Lord is the one who would be the lifter of my head. And she let me know then that she began using that verse in her letter writing, which impacted so many other believers. So as believers, we lovingly serve one another. We remove obstacles for one another. We remove a burden by saying, "Not for a minute do you feel bad. You put your head up and your shoulders back." I recently did that, with someone this past weekend. I had someone tell me actually that they felt bad about something. And, you know, at first I kind of, you know, didn't think a whole lot about it. And then later I was doing something, standing in the kitchen, and I stood still and I stopped what I was doing and I sent a text message to that person, you know, to really pay it forward and say, "Not for a minute do you feel bad about this," and really provided encouragement to that person. So in 2 Corinthians, this is exactly what God expects us to do. In 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 4, in the Amplified, it says, "Who comforts and encourages us in every trouble, so that we will be able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble, and with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So God comforts and encourages us so that we're able to do that for others. This comfort and encouragement in times of trouble comes from believers. We were never meant to be alone or in isolation. So if a believer comes to your mind, you want to take the time to stand still and call out to them, to listen to them and the Father, and He will move you to act and speak with compassion, to seek the best for them, to seek their good, to serve and to minister to them. So let's look at James. We'll go there, because I want to talk for a minute about, the example that we are of doing this. And in James chapter 2, I'm going to look at the English Standard Version here. In verse 15 and 16, it says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" You know, what good is that if you see a need and you walk past it? By default in life, we will seek our own interest. You know, we may even do that for people we have a special relationship with, but what about for those that we don't? Not merely looking out for our own interests, but those of others, they will see Christ and they will feel the comfort and encouragement of God. So I want to share an incident. Dr. Pete shared an incredible story in his teaching on what is the purpose of money. An older man, a veteran, came into his clinic. He's a physician and he has a chiropractic clinic. And so that man came in and asked for help, for money. And Dr. Pete could have walked away. He could have went into a patient room. A bunch of different things could have happened. He could have let his assistant handle it. He was standing at the counter by his chiropractic assistant, and he took the time to stand still, to look at the man, to listen, and to act out of compassion, to open his wallet and to give to the man. The man later returned to share his gratitude and what Dr. Pete's act of love, of service, and seeking to do good for the man meant to him. It was the catalyst that man needed to give him what he needed, the strength he needed to get cleaned up, to get a haircut, and inspired him to not give up and to seek work and get an interview. And that's just an amazing story, a great example of doing this. So lastly, what I want to share as far as relationship with believers is what happens when relationships don't provide, those things for us. Some of us, and it's highly likely that all of us have had heartbreaking things happen in relationships. Could be our family of origin, the families that we came from. So let's look at Psalm 27. So those sorts of things that happen in relationships can really cause us great distress in life and really stop us and really make us feel bad. So in Psalm 27, in the New International Version, it says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." So rest assured that the Lord receives us. He never abandons us in our time of need. He provides comfort and encouragement. He's our Heavenly Father, and He puts us in special relationships with believers who, through love, serve and seek the best for us. So I want to look at another verse here. We'll probably end with this verse, but in Psalm 68, look at Psalm 68. Psalms is just one of the most comforting and encouraging to me books of the Bible out there, and it is always my go-to when I need that kind of comfort and encouragement from God, and it allows me to give that same comfort and encouragement to others. Psalm 68. In verse 6, in the New International Version, it says that He sets the lonely in families. And really, this is how I feel about my San Diego Fellowship. I'm all the way in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm clearly a Chiefs fan and getting to know the San Diego teams. But on Wednesday and Sunday, I say, yay, it's fellowship today. I'm just so excited to be able to be part of a fellowship all the way across the country. And this wouldn't have happened years and years ago. It's just so awesome that we have that kind of technology. What a great fellowship that we have this side of heaven. Bob and Jeannie and so many others serve and open their homes many days of the week. So I encourage you to seek out the Acts Now Fellowship on Facebook to receive the same kind of support that I received in listening to the recorded teachings. They're such a blessing. I encourage you to let God work in your life through relationship with believers. You're not alone, and when you're in need, let someone know. And I have been involved in a ministry of some sort or other since I was a teenager, from about 14 years old. So I know that you can show up at a fellowship and sit on a couch and listen to a teaching and walk away with an unmet need. I've personally done it many times, but I want to encourage you to really embrace that relationship you have with believers. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and share your heart and your need, because God placed you in that family so that you are not alone. And when you're in need, let someone know. Bob and Jeannie would be there for you. You can reach out to me. Anyone in that fellowship would be there for you in the middle of the night if you needed. So we've been set in a wonderful family to be in relationship together. And we, through love, serve and seek the best for one another. So that's what I had to share. And I'm going to say amen. And I think from being on the fellowship, I understand that you pray. So I'll close out in prayer here. God, you are the lifter of our head. You are the God of all our days. You stay the same. Thank you for being our stillness, and for calling us and for placing us in such a wonderful family to be in relationship with one another, to be able to stand still in the moment, to look and to seek earnestly to bless one another, to listen, to call out to one another, to say, what do you need? To say, put your head up and your shoulders back, and don't you feel bad for a minute, to provide comfort and encouragement, and to seek the best for one another. Each step that we take, you make a way for us, even when there doesn't seem to be one. We give you all our praise. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.